So if you will turn your Bibles to 1 John, and we a moment ago read chapter 3, a portion of chapter 3. We're actually going to start back a couple verses in chapter 2. And the text for today, it begins, "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." John is speaking again to children, not physical children, but to spiritual children. And we are all, as followers of Jesus, adopted into God's family as his children. And in our few moments remaining together, I want to just kind of talk about this idea of children. What does it mean to be a child of God? See, my name is Kirk, and most people, well, they call me Kirk, and some call me Pastor Kirk, but three very special people call me Dad or Daddy. And there's only three people on the planet that do that, and along with my wife, they are the most precious people to me and to my heart. One of them is here today, and I'm always thrilled. And I must admit that in addition to the great joy that I have as being their dad, and I love being their dad, despite all of the challenges and imperfections and times I screw up as dad. But in addition to being a dad and loving that, and the great challenges, well, there's good and bad. In fact, I sometimes have to play good cop and I have to play bad cop. And sometimes I serve this role as dad of being an encourager and supporter. And other times, well, I have to do discipline. There are times that I invite them into relationship with me and I want them to just hang out. And then there's other times where I have to really challenge them and in a way that is for their best benefit. Sometimes there's warm love and sometimes there's tough love. All of you that are parents know what I'm talking about. See, we can't just always be warm and we can't always be not so warm or maybe cold or more stringent. And as we continue this passage in 1 John, we're going to see John talking about dear children, about his role. It's almost like he's a parent to these people. It's certainly the case that he is a shepherd, a pastor to these people. And he's reflecting both dear children in the sense of him being a father figure to these early believers, but also speaking on behalf of God, who is their father. So when he says, dear children, continue in him, continue knowing God so that when he appears, when who appears? When Jesus appears, when he comes back, then may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. John is going to invite them into deeper relationship, invite these children, invite these early Christians, these little born ones, these precious followers. And he echoes really the words that he wrote responding to Jesus or narrating Jesus in John 15, where Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, if you continue in me, if you abide in me, if you do life with me, you will bear much fruit." We talked a moment ago about outside and all the trees and all the flowers. And we love this time of year. I love this time of year because we go to the store and all of a sudden all this fruit is, well, it's less expensive, right? Because it's harvest time and I love fruit. It's my favorite food, fruit and ice cream. Or if you put them together, then it's just euphoria for me. But fruit and berries, we get strawberries and blueberries and raspberries and all these things. And they're beautiful and they're wonderful to eat. And it's because someone planted and then harvested. And we will bear much fruit, Jesus said in John 15, if we remain in him, if we abide in him, if we're connected to him. And so John is actually echoing these words, dear children, continue, remain, abide in him. Because he's coming back. And that's good news for some, and that's really frightening news for others, because when he comes back, he's not going to come back as a little baby. He's not going to be sweet 3-pound baby Jesus. He's coming back as a king to rule and reign forever and ever. And it's great news for those that follow him. And for those that don't know him, it's going to be frightening because we all all of us are going to stand before God and we're going to have to give a judgment, an account for our lives. We're going to have to answer for what we've done with our lives. We're going to have to answer, friends, for what we did with our freedoms in this country, for what we did with our wealth in this country, for what we did with the resources and the education and the opportunities that we had in this country. And it's going to be a great day, and it's going to be a scary, horrific day. So we're going to look at this relationship John has with these little children, these dear ones. But before we continue, let's just pray together. God, thank you for the power of your word, and thank you for calling us your children. How we long for the day that you would say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In these remaining moments, Lord, would you just speak that we may become more and more like Jesus, that we may reflect our Father, our Daddy, and Holy Spirit, especially on this Pentecost Sunday, would you just come? We invite you here. Fill us. May you move and generously fill us with love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so he continues the next verse. 1 John 2:29, if you know that he is righteous, if you know that Jesus is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Now, this is huge, friends. Children look like their dad. Have you ever noticed? I mean, children look like their dad or they're like their mom. And when I was a kid, people always say, "Oh, you look just like your dad." And now people always say to Trevor, "Oh, you look like your dad, poor kid." But people look like their dad. People look like their mom. People look like their family. And this is something that's been true, I think, since the beginning of time, that when people have children, their children often look physically like them. I mean, there are exceptions, of course, and there's different degrees, but generally speaking, children look like their parents. And this is not only true physically, but it's true of mannerisms. Have you ever noticed this? Right? People act like their parents. Of course, this always happens with little kids. Right? It's like, "Where'd you ever learn to do that?" "From you." You know, kids like, "Oh, you showed me." Cats in the cradle, right? We do the things that run in the family. God is righteous. His kids are righteous. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to act like him. Righteousness runs in the family. Now, one feature of this passage is that 9 times there's this phrase, "everyone who." Everyone who. It's kind of a Greek thing. And over, we're going to see 9 times, "everyone who." The first one's right here. "Everyone who acts righteous has been born of God." And then beginning with the passage we looked at earlier, "behold what manner." Now, it doesn't say "behold." You're like, "Where was the behold?" NIV, for some reason, took out this word "behold." I don't know why. Most translations have it. "Behold, see." I think "behold's" a stronger word, even though we don't usually use it, right? I mean, when's the last time you said "behold"? But it's because of that it's kind of special. Like, "behold, pay attention. This is a big deal. See." I think "see" is just kind of it minimizes it. "Behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us." How many times do we use the word "lavished"? That we should be called children of God. This is a big deal. This isn't like, "smile, God loves you." This isn't like, "hey, you're God, you're a kid of the kingdom." I mean, this is amazing, and John is trying to emphasize this. "Behold, see what great love," not just love, "what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Ever feel like you're kind of marching to the beat of a different drummer? We should be. He said a couple of verses earlier that we're not of this world. We're in the world. We're not of the world system. We don't act like the world. We act like God's world because we don't act like children of the world. We act like children of God. Our lives should be different, and that's hard sometimes. We feel weird sometimes. Paul calls us peculiar people. I mean, most of you don't want to be peculiar. But that's what we are if we're truly living radical countercultural lives. We're peculiar. We're different. We look different because this world is led by Satan. And we are children of God. And we're going to see this tension between Satan and God. But this love, And it's just not like, have a nice day, love. I love ice cream. I love sunshine. I love the beach, love. No, it's agape love. I know this is phileo love in Philadelphia, but it's agape love. It's like God's unconditional love that just, behold, what great love I've lavished on you. I love you just because. It's real. And he proved his love by sending Jesus to die for us. Dear friends, now we're children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. Like, there's good stuff ahead. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And I cannot wait, friends. Any of you excited about this? About Christ appearing? Oh, there's an amen. Yeah. We shall be like him. How many of you want to be like Jesus? We shall see him as he is. I can't wait to see his face. Cannot wait. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. God is pure. We are to be pure. We are to look like him. We are to look like the Father. Everyone who has this hope makes himself pure. All who have this hope in him purify themselves. Following Jesus is just that. It's following. It's imitating. It's becoming like him. And it requires action. And I've said this time and time again, and I'm going to keep saying it. Sometimes we feel like, well, because I prayed this prayer, that's all I need to do. Because in my head, I believe that Jesus is alive. That's all I need to do. But the reality is, friends, belief, particularly biblical belief, requires action. Faith without works is dead. This doesn't mean we're saved by works. We're saved by grace. But that grace, that saving grace, transforms us. It changes us. It renews us. It makes us more and more like Jesus. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, he says, sin is lawlessness. So here we say, everyone who sins, acts sinfully, is really doing sin. It's a reference not so much to, oops, I made a mistake, I sin. How many of you sin? Okay. And those of you with your hands down are liars, so your hand should be raised. We all sin. But this is referring to like habitual sin, or what I like to say, prideful sin. Now, there are sins, there are struggles that we have. Many of us, we have addictions. We just, the very nature of the word struggle, we say, I don't like this sin. I want to get rid of it. That's different than saying, this is a sin that I choose to do, I'm excited about, I'm proud of, I embrace wholeheartedly. And that's the world system. I mean, think about the things that we glorify in our world. I've been challenged time and time again by an acquaintance of mine, Craig Groeschel, who says, should we be entertained? He just asked the question, should we be entertained by sin? I mean, think about all the entertainment, movies, TV, all sorts of, so much of the things that entertain us are sin. I mean, we'll see, you know, inappropriate relationships or people blowing each other up or, you know, lying, deceit, all sorts of, that so much of what we are entertained by is sin. It's almost like they're boasting. They're proud of their sin. But what John's saying is habitual sins. Since the fall in the Garden of Eden, we've all been battling this idea of sin. In fact, Isaiah says that we've all, like sheep, gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And so the question is, are you doing it your way? Or are you a child of God seeking his way? You know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him, in Jesus, is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. If you're following Jesus, you can't keep on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Those are pretty strong words. So he says, everyone who abides in Jesus does not commit sin. And then anyone who commits sin has never seen him. I mean, it's kind of a black and white thing. And we don't like to talk about black and white in our culture because everything's nuanced. Everything's gray. Well, you don't understand. See, in my situation, well, because of this, and we kind of rationalize. Have any of you done this? Like, we can rationalize anything. Well, it was a little white lie. I didn't cheat that much on my tax. Well, see, and this is, it was, and we kind of get into all these explanations, but the reality is we have God who is righteous and never sins on this side, or really more like on this side, or maybe like as far as we can go over here. And then way over here, we've got Satan and evil and the world systems, and there's really nothing in between. So the question is, who's your daddy? Father, God the Father, are you here? Or are you a child of Satan over here with nothing else in between? He says, he continues on, he says, you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. Actually, this is what we were saying a moment ago. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And then he says, verse 7, dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. Have we seen this before? People are trying to lead him astray. We talked last week about Antichrist, about people, heresies, about people saying Jesus is God, but he's not human, or Jesus is human, but he's not God. The context for John's writing, again, was amidst of all sorts of lies that were filling the church. Just like today. Maybe the words are a little different. Maybe the lies are a little different. But there's still all sorts of garbage in our culture and often in the church. The one who does what is righteous just as he is righteous. So we see everyone who acts righteously is truly just. And then John gets really, really clear here, crystal clear. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous, what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning, and the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So here he's just flat out saying, there is a devil, there is evil, there is the world. And we can follow the world or we can follow the devil. Everyone who acts righteously is just. Everyone who acts sinfully belongs to the devil. Such strong words. You're a child of God or a child of the devil. You can't be both. Who's your daddy? I mean, you can't have two dads. I mean, I know they're doing weird things in test tubes and stuff nowadays, but I mean, you can't have two dads. So who's your dad? That's the question. That's the question John's asking. Who's your dad? Colossians tells us that when we were dead in sins and God made us alive in Christ. He forgave us our sins. And one of my, I love this the end of this passage. It says, talking of Jesus, it says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Can someone say amen? Jesus came to make a public spectacle of evil and Satan and sin. Destroyed all of it by his righteousness. Now, if you're like me, you struggle with sin. You struggle with sin every day. And perhaps no one struggled with it more or wrote more eloquently than Paul did. I want you to see, this has got to be the most frustrating passage in the whole Bible. Romans 7. We know that the law is spiritual, Paul says, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that the good itself does not dwell in me, that is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. In other words, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. I don't want to sin, but I sin, and I want to be righteous, but I'm not righteous. And he continues on, although I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. I know, like, that's a lot. But doesn't it describe our lives? It certainly describes my life. I think I want to follow God, but there's all this temptation over here that's luring me here because we live in a world at war. We're right in the middle of a war. It's almost like we're in the DMZ, but it's not a DMZ because there's no fighting in the DMZ. We're right in the midst of the battle, friends, every single day. We are like the rope in a tug of war going back and forth between following Jesus and following the world, following Jesus, following the world. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you do. The rest of you will talk afterward. But in the midst of this tension, and what are we supposed to do? Well, a couple things. We are to remain in Him. We are to abide in Him. And it's so fitting that today's Pentecost Sunday, because we need help and we need the Holy Spirit. You cannot do the Christian thing by yourself. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. I don't care how many Bible verses you memorized or how long you've been sitting in these chairs or how much money you give. We need help to follow Jesus. We need power. And that's what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the earth. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they've been born of God. So here again, everyone who's been born of God does not act sinfully. And I'm just going to skip ahead here. It concludes, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. And that's where the rubber really meets the road. Because I'm sure if we ask for a show of hands, how many of you are children of God? Yes. How many of you are children of the devil? Really? But anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. This is challenging. To be honest, I can't do this. I mean, on my own, there are moments that I love my brother and sister and everything's great, but the real test of who our dad is, our identity comes down to our relationship with God that allows us to have that unconditional love. As we receive it, then we share it. Because you can only give something that you have. So, in conclusion, friends, are you a child of God or a child of the devil? Are you a lover of people or are you a lover of self? And every day we battle this. It's always in flux. It's always intention, and we always need the Holy Spirit to guide us into truth, to give us strength, to give us power to live for Christ. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would take control of me, take control of all of us, that we may look like Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God. None of us desire to be children of the devil. We want to be children of God, and we want to live like children of God, not just because we read it somewhere or because in our head we believe it, but because we've been so consumed by Jesus, that every day we would look more and more like our big brother. In whose name we pray. Amen.